KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Hey, I'm Judy Redlick. Thanks for joining me for Encounter today. My guests have written a book, Jesus in Prophecy, How Christ's Life Fulfills Biblical Predictions. How applicable for today's life and times. We're in such a turmoil. You think, didn't God know all about this? Well, yes, people prophesied since the beginning of time about Jesus Christ coming and more. Dr. Van Lees is pastor of a church that he founded 35 years ago, Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri. And he's got a great family. He's been married a long time, has made 50 trips to Ukraine in the past 22 years to teach in a seminary that he started. And now he's president of the mission Reformed International Theological Education. Now, Dr. Robert Peterson. In fact, he wrote the book Hell on Trial. And if you ever read that book, well, this new book is what he's co-authoring to help. He's been a professor in seminaries for 35 years, and he's retired, working part-time writing and editing. So God's got some great stuff in store for you on Encounter today as we talk about the book Jesus in Prophecy, How Christ's Life Fulfills Biblical Prophecy. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You know, it was interesting when I walked into the studio, both of them, I had interviewed one on a television show before, Dr. Peterson, with his book, Hell on Trial, if you've ever read that book. And also, Dr. Van Lees, I knew him from Camp Penuel. If any of you know about Camp Penuel, a great organization that takes inner city kids to camp. So we're so glad you guys came today. And let's talk about your new book. Tell us some information about it. We'll start with you, Dr. Peterson.
Well, a good thing to ask is how it came about. And the answer is, Van is pastor of the Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, and I'm his right-hand man and Sunday school teacher, and we're good friends. And we both, I forgot who got the idea first, but we thought it would be great to have a booklet or a little book to put on the church table when you come in the door for seekers, a sort of a gospel tract, but more than just a tract, a little book to tell people about the Lord and seek to lead people to Christ. So that was the basic idea. Maybe Van can tell us more about the details.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I had noticed through years of pastoral ministry was we'll have people come to the church, and increasingly so in recent years, that had almost absolutely no knowledge, prior knowledge of the gospel or anything about Christianity or Jesus. And we thought about this book as not only an evangelistic tool for people that are asking questions, but also for new believers that don't have very much knowledge of Jesus and his life. So we wanted to write something that would be without technical terms that they could easily have access to without having to look up some theological term or get turned off by it. So we purposely avoided those kind of terms, but told the story of the life of Jesus, particularly using the prophecies about Jesus. So we would take a prophecy from the Old Testament about Jesus and then see where it was fulfilled and then tell the story in Jesus' life and give the story of his life. So a person could look at it, and someone's maybe just inquiring about Christianity could read it and see the story of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and the basics of the gospel. And for a new believer, they could read it and, of course, see the same thing, and it'd be reinforcing or actually give them information. Kind of the secondary purpose was an apologetic one, that you could look, hear these fulfilled prophecies, and it shows the supernatural quality of the Bible.
Amen.
And the fact that here is the real word of God with this, all these fulfilled prophecies, just even in the life of Jesus, as well as Jesus' own prophecies that he gave.
Yeah, you know, I really like how you followed the chronological order of Christ's life, because so often in the Bible, like, you have to almost put it together in the Gospels to make it make sense. as you build from each gospel. But you kind of took it chronologically, and I loved how you started when he was a little child. Let's start out with the oldest prophecy in the Bible. What was it?
Well, no sooner had Adam and Eve gotten into sin, what we call it the fall, than already in the Garden of Eden, God graciously made a promise to them that he would send a redeemer who would deliver them. So,
and where was that?
In Genesis 3:15.
3:15.
So the story barely gets going. And after two chapters of creation, Adam and Eve fall. And immediately God confronts them with their sin and promises to send a deliverer who would defeat their enemy Satan and deliver them. So God is good and gracious from the beginning of the Bible.
All the way to the end, isn't
it? Amen.
So,
amen.
Why do you think the Lord used prophecy throughout Bible times, all the way from the beginning and to where it is now today?
Let me just say a couple of things about that, and then I'll pass the baton. By the way, Vana is exactly right. We do not believe in talking down to people at all, but we want to be simple and clear because, as he said, a lot of people don't know much about the Bible or even the gospel, the way of salvation. So we used straightforward language. We even, I'm saying this for Christians who might hear this and who might want, who are praying for unsaved friends. This would be a great book to give them as a present or a gift because it doesn't speak down to them. It speaks simply and clearly. We don't even abbreviate the books of the Bible, the names of the books. We write Matthew out instead of M-A-T-T, period, for example.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
We really
that.
Want to be where the people are, that they might understand. But the prophets, first of all, spoke to their contemporaries the word of God, and not in a way of predicting the future. But secondarily, sometimes they did predict the future. I'm going to punt to my co-author now.
Okay. And one thing we see in the Old Testament is, you could think about Genesis 3:15 as being a little seed, and as the prophecies are given more and more detail about the life that Jesus has given, his genealogy, the things he was going to say and do and so forth, and it's almost like the seed begins to grow, becomes a little sprout. By the time you get into the New Testament period and the actual birth of Jesus, we have a large tree now starting to bear fruit, if you use a fruit tree illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, not only does it show, as I mentioned, the supernatural quality of the Bible, but it gives more and more information and promises to the people of God that this deliverer is coming. And, of course, you think about great chapters like Isaiah 53, where you have the atonement of Christ, and really could be almost a New Testament passage. And
Van, tell that story about the person you chatted with once.
Right, I was doing some door-to-door evangelism one time, and met a man, and he said, "Be glad to talk with you, but I'll let you know." He said, "I recently converted to Judaism." He said, "I was basically just about nothing," and and he said, "I'll be glad to talk with you, but I only want to read from, you know, what you would consider the Old Testament, be my scriptures." And I said, "Well, sure." And so I read Isaiah 53, or part of it, and he objected and said, "I told you I didn't want to hear anything from the New Testament." He thought I was reading from one of the Gospels. And I pointed out to him, so this is approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And he said, "Oh, really? He said, "I have to think about that. That's amazing." He was not familiar with it at all. And we were able to have a good conversation about the gospel. I tried to look him up later, but he had moved, and so I lost track with him. But, for example, in Isaiah 53, verse 7 and following, great passage where it says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that's before his shears, so he opened not his mouth." I mean, a passage that's fulfilled in the Gospels and Jesus' trials. And just before that, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed through our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's the atonement of Christ prophesied.
The atonement of Christ prophesied. Yeah. That's right. And Isaiah is so full of it. And that's a really a scripture that lots of people quote. Maybe you could give us another scripture that is hardly ever quoted in the Old Testament that's a great prophetic
word. That's a hard
word.
Question, Judy.
I know there's a million of them.
Now, wait a minute.
Maybe Psalm 22, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Jesus died with Psalm 22, verse 1, on his lips. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
That's Psalm 22, verse 1.
Yes, there you
now,
go.
See,
there you go. See?
Nobody ever. See, you picked the right one because I didn't know that. And I don't know how many lay people know that. But that's Psalm 22, 1. Repeat that again.
Jesus cried out, and it was a loud cry. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the psalm speaks of a righteous person persecuted, and most fully it's fulfilled in the life of Christ, who identifies he is the righteous person persecuted par excellence. So he dies with those words. As a matter of fact, he had seven famous last words.
Yes.
And we have appendices in this book. One of them is an outline of Jesus' life. Another one is a list of all the prophecies treated in Jesus in Prophecy. The third appendix is prophecies made by Jesus himself. It's nice to see them all together. And then Jesus' seven statements from the cross, which are the seven famous last sayings that he made.
Jesus in Prophecy by Dr. Van Leaves and Dr. Robert Peterson. So I hope you won't miss the second part of the show, because we're going to talk to you about how you can use this book to not only witness to Jews, but others, to help them see that Jesus' prophecies can change not only their lives, but others' lives if they get it into their hearts and their minds and their souls. So come back, would you, for a second segment of Encounter? I'm Judy Radlich.
I wonder where it could be. He wouldn't have left me, would he? Dad! Where are you?
For far too many children, Dad is a stranger or he doesn't exist, and our families are suffering for it. Research shows that fathers can have a tremendous power to shape and mold the development of their children, but only if they are present in the family. Dad, where are you? We need you to take the leadership in your family. Don't leave your kids wondering where you are. Be there for them.
Dad!
You found me. All right. It's my turn to count while you hide.
You'll never find me.
A message for your family from Focus on the Family.
I'm Judy Radlich. We're back with Encounter. I'm talking with the two authors of a book, Jesus in Prophecy, Dr. Van Lees, who is the pastor of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri. He's been to Ukraine 50 times. Can you believe that? And he's been married for 33 years to his wonderful wife. They have some great kids who have lots of talent. And Dr. Peterson, a professor, and he also wrote the book Hell on Trial. You might have read that book, but they're both my guests today here. And they wrote the book Jesus in Prophecy, How Christ's Life Fulfills Biblical Predictions. So thank you guys for coming. Thank you all for listening. How can prophecies build or rebuild one's faith?
We had a story in there about a man who was questioning, remember?
Yeah, I had a man in my church once that was really questioning the Bible. He had struggled with his faith, and he was asking me, you know, how can I really have a better assurance of the Bible being true? And I showed him several of the prophecies concerning Jesus' life. And as he looked at those, one in particular stuck out to him. The Isaiah 53 passage was one of them. And he told me later, he said, that really helped get my Christian life back on track. Because he said, I really did see the supernatural quality of the Bible from those prophecies and see that it was impossible for those prophecies to be there so many years before the life of Jesus. And the Bible just be an ordinary book or be given your ordinary another religion or something like that. And I remember him telling me, so I really thank God for those prophecies because now I feel like I'm really back on track with my Christian life. And I think for many Christians, they may go through periods in their Christian life where they struggle with, okay, is the Bible really true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard this maybe for many years. I've sat in church, I've heard sermons, but how can I really know that the Bible is true? And one of the ways, of course, is the fact that we see all these prophecies, many, many prophecies about the life of Jesus. And, of course, there's end-time prophecies and other things, but especially in the terms of the life of Jesus, so many fulfilled. And, of course, it does show the fact that the Bible is written in a very unusual quality. It is supernatural in those prophecies, and it can give them greater assurance in the Word of God and the message of the gospel.
Maybe you could define
Judy, can I add a little bit there?
Oh, sure.
Because we often think of one point, but we miss another one. If I just survey what our book's about, it's about prophecies of Jesus' birth, and then chapters on his beginning, heart, and end of his ministry. Then prophecies about his death, his resurrection, and then prophecies about his ascension and second coming. We correctly say, well, for God to make predictions hundreds of years in advance, for example, from Isaiah to write 600 years in advance, details of Jesus' life and death, that shows God's knowledge. He knows the future. And that's absolutely true. But there's more to it than that. For God to do that, he not only knows the future, he controls the future. That is, prophecy is not only dependent on God's being all-knowing or omniscient, but also on his providence. His providence is his most holy, just, and loving control of his creatures and of history. So God not only knows the future, he controls it in order to fulfill the predictions that he made. So, for example, Micah 5:2 predicts that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. And if you read the Gospel of Luke, Caesar Augustus issues a decree that people have to go back to their hometowns to register for a tax. Well, you better believe Caesar Augustus wasn't reading Micah's prophecy. But God used the emperor of the Roman Empire and that decree to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. So the prophecy,
prophecy
of Micah would
be
fulfilled, literally, for Jesus to be born in that little town of Bethlehem.
Wow, that's amazing. And it shows how the Lord, and then even Christ in his ministry, was paying so much attention to detail for the future.
In another chapter, we dealt with the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And not only did we show some of his ministry beginning, but the fact that prophecies about John the Baptist were in the Old Testament. And you remember when he was questioned by the Pharisees, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm not." But he said, "I'm the one crying in the wilderness," again, quoting a prophecy. So here is not only the birth of Jesus, his life, and so on prophesied, but even the events surrounding his ministry, such as the coming to John the Baptist and his ministry. So we tried to cover a lot of these things that really show a full-orbed aspect of who Jesus was and the events around his life, and of course, focusing especially on his death and resurrection and what that means in terms of the gospel.
Now, we talked some about how your book could help Jews come to Christ. What about people in other religions? How can prophecy help bring them into the saving knowledge of the truth?
Our main focus is not on Jewish people, although we would love for them to read and believe, but just on garden variety, regular, ordinary people who, in general, in our country and others as well, know very little about the Bible and the things of the Bible, even the life of Jesus, and very little about the way of salvation. So our burden was to explain in simple terms the greatest life ever lived, the life of Jesus, and the epitome of that life, which is his death and resurrection, his death for sinners like us and his resurrection, promising eternal life to everyone who believes, and to show how event after event in his life, at all different times in his life, starting with his public ministry at 30 until his death at about 33 and a half years old, are predicted in the Old Testament. So our burden is for seekers.
For seekers.
People who are interested to learn more about the Bible, about the gospel, about Jesus' life, about prediction and fulfillment, especially about the way of salvation.
How can prophecies help us in these changing, these challenging times today?
Well, I think one way it is when we see the prophecies in the Old Testament, as Robert just mentioned, it shows not only God's foreknowledge and being all-knowing, but it does show that God is providentially working out his plan. And even when we see disasters in our culture and things at different times down through history, we know that God is still working out a plan. And one thing I think that's very helpful to know that is it means when we go through periods of crisis or suffering in our own lives, we know that our pain, our struggles is not futile. We know those things are not meaningless, that there is purpose even in whatever we may suffer or see our culture suffering. We know that God is still in control and still working out his purposes. Prophecy shows us that the flow of history is not meaningless itself. In fact, as Robert mentioned, the Roman emperor gives the decree to go to Bethlehem. Well, we can imagine Joseph and Mary's response to that. Well, I'm 9 months pregnant, and we have to make this journey to Bethlehem, and it's an arduous journey to make it. It's hard to do, and yet here we are. We have to do this. What's going on in our culture, our political structures, and yet God was fulfilling a purpose and a prophecy, and we can know that the things we experience and go through, either in the broader culture or personally, has real meaning. And I think that's very comforting to people, even in the midst of sometimes very severe crises and suffering in their lives.
Amen. Most of all, again, the book points to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And it holds him up, showing that his life is not only a great life in which he cast out demons and taught about the kingdom of God as never before, and did miracles of healings and raising the dead, three people from the dead. But most of all, he died in the place of lost persons and rose again to save whosoever would believe in him. So the main purpose of our book and of the Bible is to point people to Jesus.
Point people to
secondarily,
Jesus.
Secondarily, it does give confidence, because how in the world could these prophets, they were very intelligent, weren't they? Some were more intelligent, some less, but no, that's not how they could do this. The Holy Spirit worked in and through them, and then God controlled history to bring about those predictions in the life of Jesus, that we might have confidence in the Bible as the Word of God and confidence in Jesus to save us from our sins if we trust him to have been our substitute, our vicar, the one who died in our place, and not only died, but rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Psalm 16 and other places, the life of Jonah, predict Jesus, and Isaiah 53 itself predicts Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So in that way, the book has multiple purposes of pointing to Christ and God's ability to predict and fulfill prophecy, and pointing to Jesus as Savior and Redeemer.
How is what's happening with COVID today and the shakeup of our nation fulfilling prophecy?
It certainly shows the fact that we live in times, and Christians have down through history lived in times with great crises. You could think about the late Middle Ages with the Black Plague and things like that, where they had to deal with it. In fact, there have been great examples of Christian care and love in some of those times, where the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1300s got the Black Plague caring for people and died himself. So there are times when things like this occur that not only do we know that God is still carrying out his plan, but at the same time, give opportunities for witness, give opportunities to present the gospel to people that may be struggling or feeling hopeless, are simply questioning life itself. And as Robert mentioned, ultimately we know we have eternal life through a reliant trust, through a belief in Jesus, and not through anything or works in ourselves.
That's true. And people who say prophecy is not for today, what would you tell them?
Well, certainly we see many prophecies that Jesus himself made, as well as in the letters in the New Testament, talking about the fact that there will come a day when history will end, when Jesus will return, and there'll be a final judgment. We don't know exactly that time. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. But, of course, we are called to be ready for that day and that hour.
Ready for that day.
Two scriptures come to mind. Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul writes, all the promises of God are yes and amen in
Jesus.
Yes
and amen. Jesus in prophecy, how Christ's life fulfills biblical predictions. How, Dr. Lees, can people get a copy of this book?
The easiest way to get it would be to contact my church, Covenant of Grace Church. And our website is covenantofgracechurch.org. There's a contact link there. They can contact us there and be glad to send them the book. It will be under $10, so we're keeping the price low so it can be distributed easily. And about 200 pages. So it's not long and it's not a big book, but at the same time, we try to give them good information in it. Cheap price and easy to distribute that way.
A great book to talk about prophecy and help people see who Jesus really was and how biblical times foretold what's even happening today. Dr. Van Lees and Dr. Robert Peterson wrote this book. You can get it at covenantofgracechurch.org. Jesus in Prophecy, How Christ's Life Fulfills Biblical Predictions. I'm Judy Redlick. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Encounter. See you next time.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.